Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If you are here for the first time, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us as our honored guest Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of the Church of Christ at Redan Road, located in Lithonia, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin. His message is entitled, Faith in Jesus, and comes from 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. I strongly urge you all to please stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. But before we bring him on, I'd like to open the line to prayer requests. If you have a request, please press the number 1 on your phone at this time. And when the last 4 digits of your number are called, state the name and need of the individuals for whom you are requesting prayer. Caller 2542, state your request.
Good morning. This is Sister Janice Graham. I'm calling and asking prayers for my grandson, Elijah. He really, really needs y'all prayers and his situation. And pray for me and pray for his mother as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Of course, it is my request today, as in every day, that you all please continue praying for each other. Pray for every single family represented on this call, that God bless us all in the ways that we stand in need of. I ask your prayer on behalf of all of our motorists and travelers, especially our truckers, that they respect each other's space and allow everyone to make it to their destination safely. And last but certainly not least, all of our ministers who come on a daily basis to provide us with these words of encouragement, that God would continue to encourage them, that they be an example to all of us and come on to provide us with words of encouragement on a daily basis. Thank you. Caller 6371, state your request.
Thank you. Yes, good morning. My name is Mary, and I'm asking prayer for three of my coworkers, Barbara, David, and Julie. Both all had medical procedures, and I'm asking that you all pray with me for them for a speedy recovery. And also I'm asking prayer for myself. I'm transitioning to a new position at my job, and I'm just asking that that others would see Christ in me, that I would be fair with those I have to deal with on a daily basis. And also asking prayer for everyone on the call, and also for the Baker, Clark, and the LeGrand families. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we have Brother Ben Griffin. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, everyone. I want to thank you so much, so kindly, for tuning in on this morning. And certainly it's a day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing, and we've been glad in it. We want to certainly be mindful and prayerful for all those who chimed in on this morning. Sister Janice Graham, who asked for prayers on behalf of Elijah, her grandson or son, and also his mother, and herself as well, and her health and the challenges that she's having to deal with her own life, but also the cares and concerns of others. Also, this is Danielle requested prayers on behalf of for each other and the motorists and the truckers in particular, but also she lifted up the prayer request on behalf of the ministers who are diligently giving their time up to encourage others who are on the call. And also Sister Mary, who's asked prayers on behalf of her coworkers, Barbara, David, and Julie, and as well as herself, as she will be transitioning to a new position. She asked for wisdom, that she may be fair, and that she may be diligent in her labors on her new job. Also, she asked prayers on behalf of the Baker family, the Starks, and the LeGrand family. We pray mightily for all of them, as well as God would be with them through their times and through all their challenges and through their cares. We ask God that he would be with each of them, as this will be our prayer on this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it all. Amen. If you have your Bible, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. No doubt we know the greatest enemy of humankind is sin. You know, the Bible tells us that in James 1:13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempt any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. One of our greatest challenges in life is when we sin again. Those who are really concerned about their life in relation to Christ would be concerned with this, and no doubt some people feel as though you could be back in the early days of learning the Bible. Folk felt that they got baptized and they went out and they sinned again, that they'd be baptized all over again. So what happened, some folks start waiting to the last minute in their life and they got baptized because they knew they would sin again. That was the understanding. Of course, we are products of our teaching. When we learn better, we do better. There were those who wouldn't be baptized today on their deathbed, so they wouldn't have to worry about getting baptized. Some folks have been arrested, baptized 50 times, because that was understanding, that when you got baptized, all your sins washed away. And now when you sin, whatever the sin may be, you have to be baptized, get that sin washed away too. But that was the understanding of the text then, but now we know better, and so we do better. But one of the greatest concerns, no doubt, is are we okay with Jesus when we do sin? As true believers, the answer is yes, providing we understand what Christ requires of us as we sin. It's not that if we're going to sin, it's when we're going to sin, because we're going to sin, even as true believers, because that's who we are. But here's what the encouraging words of Jesus says along that line. This epistle of John is a powerful, magnificent epistle. I would encourage you to read it, read it, and read it, and read it, because it is an epistle that gives us the surety of eternal life. Just like the Gospel of John, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And so, and then in 1 John 13, we have the assurance again. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so we do have that holy assurance of eternal life, but we still have to deal with this present condition, sin. So what do we do about that? Well, the writer says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Oh, he don't want us to sin. John is writing to his community. As little children, this intimate relationship he had with them, he's John, the senior, the mature, the writer, the apostle, the close companion of Jesus. In his old age, he's writing to this young group of believers, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have, first person plural, an advocate, an attorney, a lawyer with the Father. Who is he? Jesus Christ the righteous. We see, we need to understand that we have a go-between. We have a mediator. We have someone to represent us. This is regards to a court hearing wherein we sin, and, you know, for the wages of sin is death. We have to go to court. We violated the law of God, and for the punishment of sin is death. And we wonder, say, well, I sinned just an hour ago. What should I do? Be baptized again? No. What should you do? Well, my understanding is you repent. You make amends. You sin against your spouse. Say something you shouldn't say to them. Apologize. Ask for forgiveness. Repent from your heart. And go on about your life. But I wouldn't suggest we make this a habit every morning you get up. And, well, I ask God to forgive me. I just had to get it out. We can't play with God like that. But we do know that when we do slip into sin, error of sin, and oftentimes the sin in a Christian occurs when there's an undetected weakness and an unexpected opportunity. And when these two cross paths, usually we fall prey to sin. Here's an example. You work at this store and the oil bank, and they have a safe full of money. Normally, you're not a thief, but you do love money. And you happen to be cleaning the place up because you work for a cleaning crew. And the bank folk left the safe open. Now, you do have an undetected weakness of money. And you didn't think we'd ever get to the point that you would take that wasn't yours. But here's an unexpected opportunity. What chances of the safe being left open when you showed up to clean the building up this night? And now you have this unexpected opportunity flares up. And now you see the safe wide open, all this money. And now that undetected weakness you have for money, it raises its head. Now you have, on one hand, unexpected opportunity, and then you have lurking there before you, undetected weakness. And these two are now together. They cross paths. And so you take it. Ordinarily, you wouldn't do it. Now, you had the undetected weakness all along, but the opportunity never showed itself. And just the opposite. There are those who have this weakness of opportunity. This opportunity has never occurred. Soon as opportunity occurs, now you fall prey. And I make this analogy because I'm guilty of it myself. And so I know this is what happens. But what do I do when that happens? Do I just say, woe is me, I just can't be a Christian no more? No. I thank God we have passages such as this, is that we realize that I have sinned. I knew I shouldn't have done so. But I need to understand that I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2 says, and he is, that is Christ, the propitiation for our sins. That is, he's the go-between. He's the appeaser. He goes to the Father. And he pleads with the Father, this is not who Ben really is. He's just a victim of an undetected weakness and unexpected opportunity. But normally he's not like this. He's not a thief. He's not a liar. And so will you give him a chance? He's repentant. I believe he's sincere. And will you have mercy on him? This is what Jesus does when we sincerely ask for forgiveness and repent thereof. And he is a propitiation of our sins. This our sins indicates or implies that we do have sins. And our first person plural, the writer is including himself. He's not putting himself above sin. And not ours only, our sins, but also for the sins of the world. Everybody in the world of age of accountability, conscious, they do sin. But they have an advocate with the Father. Now, some of us who are not saved in Christ's body and his family as of yet, we still have opportunity to take advantage of what Jesus did for me too on the cross. You have to believe. You have to repent, confess, and be baptized. Now you're in the family, and now you have access to the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you sin, going forward, you too now have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we are safe in Jesus. But mark this, he that sinned willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. We cannot sit down and strategize that I'm going to do this and do it without impunity. We take some serious risks when we cold, calculatedly, intentionally sin. As Galatians 6:1, that individual, we might say, slipped into a fault or sin, and we who are spiritual, we are to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. That person was overtaken, overwhelmed by sin. That comes back to this undetected weakness and this unexpected opportunity. And sometimes we are tempted and we yield to temptation. Let's not do that. Let this lesson be ours today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.